Yair Cohen, who is internet lawyer from the Baines Cohen Solicitors, which is a London law firm.
The reason why the draft Online Piracy Act is so controversial is mainly because it is signals beginning of the regulation of the internet. So far, the internet has been, to an extent, a lawless land where anyone could say anything and people steal other people's material, people share, people say things about other people. And now there seems to be a move in the United States towards regulating the internet. And what the Online Piracy Act is saying is that any website or any service provider on the internet who is somehow involved in either facilitating the sale of piracy, facilitating the sale, let's say, of music, illegally downloaded music, or anything like that, as long as they are involved in that, they could be actually held criminally liable for the theft of the material or for the breach of the copyright. And a lot of people don't like it because they say, hang on for a second, the internet is all about sharing, is all about making things available for everyone. And if you're going to start penalizing or criminalizing companies such as, I don't know, PayPal could potentially be held criminally liable under this law for facilitating a transaction of the sale of fake items or sale of music, which the person who's selling it hasn't got a right to sell it. So it's very similar to the money laundering regulations all over the world, where people such as lawyers suddenly become responsible, or bankers could become responsible for facilitating this. And people don't like it because it's a big change. It's a major change to the way we see the internet. And there's a lot of controversy about this in America.
But Mr. Cohen, with the internet hacking so widespread these days, do I get it right that this law makes all website owners more vulnerable? Because if a hacker introduces something into the website and the man is not even aware of that, is he still liable?
The suggestion is that once the owner of the website or once the facilitator has become aware of any sort of breach or any sort of illegal sharing or illegal sale of material on mm-hmm. the internet, only then would they become liable in terms of the law.
Consumer rights activists say
yes.
that the law actually amounts to violating the freedom of speech, of communication.
I think there are two ways to look at it. File sharing is where I, for instance, purchase a CD, a music CD, and I put it on my computer and I make it available for my friends or family or sometimes for other people for money. I make it available for them. So instead of them buying this music CD in the shop, they download it either for free or paying me a fee through my computer. So yes, it will restrict the ability to share, but at the same time, it will create a new sense of responsibility and awareness that the internet is not a lawless land. The anarchy, to an extent, will have to stop. So you could see why people who favor complete and total freedom of speech might get a little bit concerned about this, because they might be liable if they share things that don't belong to them with other people.
As far as I understand, it is not only about sharing files, is it?
No. It's not about sharing files, it's about facilitating sale of anything which shouldn't really be sold, or anything mm-hmm. that the person hasn't got a right to sell or hasn't got a right to even offer for sale. Mainly it is to do with copyright for music or copyright for films. So let's say you have a small enterprise producing a film, hoping to make a little bit of money, and once the film is out, it is then being shared by everyone on the internet. So the people who produce this film cannot possibly make any money out of it. In fact, nobody is going to buy it from them because it is available for free through other providers, or sometimes for even a fee. So people who receive the fee at the end are not the people who really created this movie. So there will be restrictions on what can be offered, what cannot be offered. But I think the issue of freedom of speech is more about the very idea of regulating the internet. And there are people who are concerned that once you start regulating the internet, then there's going to be more burden placed on service providers such as, let's say, Google. So if material is being sold or offered for sale on a blog which belongs to Google, then Google could be held liable and responsible for that. And they don't like it.
In fact, I'm just looking at a letter, well, it's called an open letter, and it's been signed by a long list of American professors. Of course, they're also protesting against the law, and just let me quote from it. It says that the act would undermine and dramatically diminish the Internet's capability to be a functioning communications medium. I think it's just what you've been talking to us about. They say that, in conclusion, passage of the act will compromise our ability to defend the principle of the single global Internet.
Of course, because at the moment, the internet service providers in the United States enjoy pretty much complete freedom. They are not liable to anything which is going on the websites which they own. They do make money out of these websites, some of them, but they're not liable for anything there. All this law is saying is, look, if you are taking part in a theft, okay, it's not physical theft, it's theft of intellectual property. If you take part in a theft, if you facilitate the theft, if you facilitate something which is illegal, then you should be held responsible for that. It is the same position as it is with tangible asset. If you facilitate a theft, if you take part, if you play a part in theft, then surely the law would hold you pretty much anywhere in the world liable for your part of facilitating that. So to suggest that holding people liable for facilitating illegal activity on the internet is any different to facilitating the same legal activity offline, I think some of these people, who these professors, and there is another letter written jointly by many Facebook, Twitter, the main internet service providers in the world, they send a joint letter to Congress, apparently, and they're saying the same thing. But one has got to ask, what is the motivation for doing that? Because there's always a victim. There's always going to be a victim. If you have complete freedom of speech, there are going to be people who are going to be suffering. There are going to be people whose reputation is going to be tarnished. It's going to be people whose family life, work, jobs. There's going to be some very personal stories of people who paid the price for this freedom. And if there is freedom to exchange links and exchange movies or music or whatever it is, there are going to be some individuals who are going to be suffering, who are going to be, you know, maybe they invested all the savings into producing something, and then it is just freely available on the internet, and nobody seems to be responsible for that. Nobody, you know, is thinking, nothing is free in life. Even freedom of speech is not free completely. There's always someone who's got to pay a price for it.
Well, Mr. Cohen, thank you very much. And just to remind you, our guest speaker was Yair Cohen, internet lawyer from the Baines Cohen Solicitors, which is a law firm based in London.